Hello and welcome to the All Things Travel Show. Today, we'll continue discussing Universal Orlando Resort and its second theme park, Islands of Adventure. You'll soon figure out why Islands of Adventure has been voted the number one theme park in the world for six straight years. It's just that awesome. You're listening to the All Things Travel Show, episode 13, original air date, September 16th, 2020. All right, Shane, we're going to be talking about Islands of Adventure today. We're going to talk about some amazing theme park things.
I love Islands of Adventure. It's probably my favorite park. I kind of go back and forth between it and whichever the most recent Disney park I've been to is, but Islands of Adventure is always my number one or number two park.
Absolutely. There is so much to do and see. If you are a theme park junkie, there's rides you're going to love. If you have a special connection to one of these themes that we're going to talk about, the theming is just out of this world. Some of the things that they've done. And actually, to be honest, it has some of the best food at the Universal Orlando Resort as well. So lots to hear about. This is a continuation of our Universal Orlando Resort series. We've done several other shows. So if you're interested in starting from the beginning, head back and you'll see an overview show and also a show about Universal Studios Florida. But first, before we get into Islands of Adventure, I'm excited because we've got another five-star review I want to highlight.
Excellent. Let's hear
this. This is from Apologize, but it's NHMON. So I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but it's a five-star review, and we appreciate it so much. It says, I loved listening to Ryan and Shane. Ryan was so informative about all things Disney and beyond. They made me excited to start traveling again. I took notes on the Epcot food and wine for my next trip, and I can't wait to snack around the world. Sushi flower pot and a mango smoky margarita, check. Can I come with you? I'm excited about both of those things. They were my favorite out of the whole festival. Well, thank you so much for your review. We're just so excited to hear from folks and know that we're making you want to travel again.
And if you want to see a photo of that sushi flower pot, we have posted it on our Instagram page at All Things Travel Show. So be sure and follow us there.
I think the margarita's there too.
I think it is. You know, we post so much. Who can really keep up with all of our posts?
Who knows? Who knows?
We should follow us too.
In fact, I do. Keep the reviews coming. We would like to highlight reviews on the show and hear what people are thinking about our topics. And we just want to give the love out to folks that want to show us review or give us reviews. So please keep them coming.
Yeah. You know, cause it takes a little extra step. So those of you who have left reviews, we certainly appreciate that.
Well, Shane, what makes Islands of Adventure so great?
The easy answer is the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
That's one.
That's usually the reason clients want to know, you know, where is the Harry Potter park? Should I go to Universal? But other than that, I'll save it for later, but Hogsmeade is not even the best part of Islands of Adventure. There's a part that I think is even better, but it's just the whole experience. You feel like you're in a cartoon, you feel like you're in a comic, you feel like you're in a movie, you feel like magic might be real. I mean, after you're there a few hours, you're convinced that, you know, maybe magic is real. Maybe these wands really work.
Well, Islands of Adventure, like I said in the show intro, has been rated the number one amusement park in the world by TripAdvisor 2015 to 2019. People love this park, and there's a lot of reasons why. So, well, do we want to get into it? Do we want to talk about it?
Let's do it. Let's go through the map like we did for Universal Studios.
Sure. So just to give you a little bit of an overview again, remember, Universal Orlando Resort has three theme parks, two regular theme parks and one water park. And one of the things that makes Universal Orlando Resort different than Disney, if Disney is your reference, these two theme parks are right next to each other. So you can literally go back and forth either on the Hogwarts Express, which we'll talk about a little later, or even just walking out of the parks and walking to the other gate. I would say, what do you think, Shane? Probably a 7-minute walk between the two?
If that, depending on the crowd and how fast you walk. Yeah, right there.
Yeah. So, and right outside of those parks is City Walk, which is Universal's kind of shopping, eating area. So everything's right there. As we go into Islands of Adventure, one of the first things you're going to notice is the area that they call the Port of Entry. And this is kind of, it almost has kind of like a bazaar or a trade, you know, like a street market kind of feel. And it's really kind of, it's supposed to get you into kind of the feeling of you're going on an adventure. You're going to a different place. And it's got a really neat atmosphere. And there's several eateries here. There's several shops here. So you don't even have to get too far into the park before you can start to spend money.
It's that Starbucks and maybe the Croissant Moon Bakery is too, but that's a pretty convenient breakfast stop
yep,
for you to,
yep.
to get up, get on the bus or get on the car or get on the ferry, get to the park and have breakfast there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And kind of avoid maybe that first crush of people as the park opens and just let them get through and get going. We've also, my family's eaten at the Confisco Grill, which is right there. It's a nice sit down restaurant. Pretty solid offerings for your family as far as a meal goes. If we're going clockwise, then the first place you're going to come is Marvel Superhero Islands. And I have to tell you, Shane, and I think I said this in an earlier episode, this is like walking into fifth grade Ryan Hedstrom's room, you know, with the posters and the comic books and the, it's everything awesome when it comes to Marvel superheroes. And some people might be saying, well, wait a minute, Disney owns Marvel. It's all on Disney Plus now and all that kind of stuff. They're building a Guardians of the Galaxy roller coaster. What's going on here? Disney and Universal have a very interesting relationship when it comes to Marvel. Anything that is older in Marvel's catalog, Universal actually has the rights to, and I know there's some details I may not be getting 100% legalese correct, but essentially think of this as the Marvel of the 90s, you know, so you've got Wolverine in the bright yellow outfit and, you know, all that kind of stuff that, you know, the X-Men and things like that. There are some awesome rides in this area, aren't there, Shane?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And it seems like maybe it was almost more of the comics at Universal yeah. and the movies, but I've seen comic things. I've seen comic souvenirs at Disney. And then I've also seen movie themed products at Universal. So I'm not really sure of where they draw the line.
It is, but yeah, I would say this is much more based around the comic books. And that kind of genre. Some of the rides here, you know, they've got a few smaller rides, Stormforce, Accelatron, Dr. Doom's Fearfall, which is kind of the reverse of a drop ride. They kind of like shoot you up. Instead of a drop. They've got the Incredible Hulk coaster, which I think is an amazing roller coaster. It's one where you're strapped in, but your feet are free, and this does have upside down turns and corkscrews. This is a really cool roller coaster. And then I would say, and I think we've agreed on this earlier, one of the best theme park rides in Orlando, the Amazing Adventures of Spider-Man. This ride is just cool.
Yeah, it's so fun. I mean, it's just like you're in the, we're gonna say the Disney XD animated series. With great effects, you feel like you're flying, you feel like you're falling. It's an amazing, amazing experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, you know, for the Marvel geek like me, one of the things that this land doesn't disappoint is the shop opportunities, if you will. You know, there's anything from the standard theme park stuff all the way to collector's items. And actually, there's a comic book store in that area.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can, you know, one of the things that I really like is the Funko Pop figures. And so I just go crazy in this area. This is a really cool. And like I said, the theming of Islands of Adventure is just off the charts.
And this was before the movie came out, but there was one time in the gift shop there, they had a Captain Marvel backpack, and this Captain Marvel, I wish we had bought it, 'cause it was so cool. And then we didn't end up getting it. And then there was one trip we were waiting in. We were trying to decide whether or not my kid was ready to ride Dr. Doom's Fearfall yet. Mm-hmm. And so while we're looking at the ride and talking about it, out of the corner of my eye, I see Spider-Man run across the street.
Yeah.
And we chased Spider-Man into the souvenir shop where we were able to get our pictures taken with Spidey and get a souvenir of my kid and me on a comic book cover.
Yeah. Cool. And you know, that's what I like about Universal in general. The characters are right there. You know, you mentioned Spider-Man. We were in one of the stores there in that area, and Captain America just walks, like literally walks through the store. When Captain America throws his mighty... And I said, "Hey, Cap, how you doing?" And, you know, and he gave me a little salute and just kept on walking. Like, it was just like, well, of course you were supposed to see me. I mean, they're right there with you. It's really cool.
Yeah, they're just walking around instead of coming out of a stage door or something.
As we're moving around the islands, the next island, actually, to be honest, I haven't done much with. This is Toon Lagoon. And this has all of like your classic comic books like Popeye and Olive Oil and Dudley Do-Right, kind of your Sunday comic strips, right?
I love the main drag because all the theming is the old comics, like you said. I don't really get into the newer cartoons or comics, and if you enjoy those old ones, Dudley Do-Right, Popeye,
Beetle Bailey, you know, kind of things like that. And the what this area is known for as far as attractions is water rides. There's huge water rides where you're going to get soaked, and there's kind of like a rapids. There's a barge ride. There's a Ripsaw Falls ride, where you're really going to get, I mean, this is where you actually want to wear your swimsuit, you know, kind of thing. And if water rides are your thing, this is where you're going to be headed.
Yeah. On the Popeye and Bluto's bilge rat barges, it's a circular boat, and you sit around the outsides facing the middle, and you get splashed by the rapids. There's some waterfalls that pour on your heads. There's a, people can go into the Popeye ship and spray water at you. You will probably get wet. To be candid, I don't like to go get wet at the parks. That's kind of why I like Splash Mountain. You don't get as wet. So yeah, I also haven't spent much time in Toon Lagoon.
Well, the way that we handled this was actually my family, one of the days that we were there at the resort, we were going to go to Volcano Bay later in the day. We had a friend meeting us in Florida. He lives in Florida. He was meeting us over there. So we actually went in our swimsuits and rode those rides and then went to Volcano Bay. You know, so it was like we knew we were going to get wet, and we knew we wanted to go to the water park later. So we kind of, you know, and to me, that's one of the advantages of the Orlando resort, because you really can kind of bebop around to the different areas quite easily.
That's a great reason why people should listen to the All Things Travel Show.
There you go.
Little tidbits like that.
Little tidbits of the knowledge and experience there.
Yeah, I want to do that because of that Dudley Do-Right's Ripsaw Falls looks like a really fun flume type ride, water roller coaster. So
absolutely. So the next area is a smaller area. It only has one attraction. This is Skull Island. And the ride here is just that, Skull Island, the Reign of Kong. And this is a ride where you're in kind of like a safari Jeep. And there are screens on the side windows. And so as you're going through the ride, all these things are happening, and it feels like it's actually happening to you in the safari Jeep. I really like this ride. As much as I disliked, and you'll remember this from the other episode, as much as I disliked the Fast and Furious, this is the same type of ride setup, but this one is so much better.
I haven't ridden it yet because, like I said before, we have a hard time leaving the magic of the places that we will talk about.
And we're almost there. Later. We're almost there.
I'm not going to rush us. So I'm going to be patient.
Yeah, but I like this ride. This is definitely one that you're going to want to do. And this actually has one of those virtual lines that we talked about last week. So you could get on and get your place in line, enjoy some other rides until it's time, and then you know you have your place in the Skull Island Reign of Kong. Next, we move on to Jurassic Park. And there's several different things here that are fun. There are smaller activities for the kids. There's some smaller rides and activities. There's actually a Jurassic Park Discovery Center, which I really like. There's some various things to learn about dinosaurs, kind of interactive stuff. It's a good place, to be quite honest, is a good place to avoid the weather. So if it's super hot outside or it's rainy, it's a good place to jump in. And I think they have some food there. I know they have a shop there. And like I said, there's kind of an interactive, I mean, it's based around if you were actually at Jurassic Park, this would be the learning center is kind of how it's set up.
Yeah. And then you definitely want to go get your picture taken with the raptor.
Basically what they do is they bring you in for what seems like a nice little photo in the Jurassic Park area, and all of a sudden this raptor comes shooting out and it's like, you know, like nipping at you and all this kind of stuff, and it's a lot of fun. It's a neat little thing to be quite honest. It's a neat thing that Universal can get away with that probably Disney couldn't. Because they Disney doesn't want to not be the happiest place on earth, if you will. And so it's kind of fun to see people's and so sometimes it's kind of fun just to watch from a distance to see people's reactions. So anyway, that's in that area. And then a really cool water ride in the Jurassic Park is the Jurassic Park River Adventure. And this is based around, you know, if the dinosaurs had gone free and kind of run amok in Jurassic Park and you were, oh, I don't know, on the river and, you know, you thought you were going out to do a nice sightseeing safari of the dinosaurs. And lo and behold, you get swept up in the mayhem. I really like this ride. It's kind of like a step up from Splash Mountain. Kind of more of a thrill ride. You don't get super wet, but you're certainly going to get more wet here than you are on a Splash Mountain or even a Cali River Rapids.
And I think we did mention on the Universal Studios episode that Islands of Adventure is primarily outdoor rides. So yeah. There's a lot of river rides, a lot of outdoor rides. Have you ever been able to ride the Pteranodon Flyers?
No.
Neither have I.
No.
Need to find some family with a little kid so that we can go and ride it, because you can't ride it if you're over 56 inches tall.
Right.
Yeah. Unless you're with someone shorter than that.
Yep. So then we're moving on. And Shane, I think we're here. Why don't you tell us about where we're headed next?
Are we headed into the Lost Continent? No.
Seuss
Landing.
No.
Seuss Landing. My favorite part.
No.
I mean, even with all due respect to Naboo and Galaxy's Edge, my favorite part of Orlando is Seuss Landing. I love the Dr. Seuss theming. Everything is askew. There are no straight angles. There are no right angles in Seuss Landing. Everything is curved and twisted. It's like being in a Dr. Seuss movie or and you might even go a little insane on some of these rides because it's so wacky. You know, especially like the Cat in the Hat ride. It's like riding through the movie.
Yeah.
And it could make you a little bit insane.
Yeah, but it's top notch with the themes. I mean, and again, I know we keep saying that. That's something that I love about theme parks in general. But man, Seuss Landing again just takes it to a different notch.
Yeah, I think you definitely wanna ride on the carousel because it has just the unique Dr. Seuss-esque characters, and I think it's pretty fast. I think it's one of the faster carousels. And then the High in the Sky trolley train ride. For some reason, we always call it the Sneetches ride because there's a lot of theming for the movie The Sneetches, which is one of our favorite movies. And you get not only do you get some really cool Dr. Seuss characters and theming, but you get a lot of really cool views of the park.
Very good. Very good. And then the ride that probably, I would say, Seuss Landing is probably best known for is the Cat in the Hat. And that's just kind of a mayhem ride through the book, if you will. And And Universal does a really good job with kind of the ride system where you're in a car and you're kind of moving from one thing to the other, kind of sometimes jerky, sometimes slow. They do a really good job of pacing it. And it's just, it's a lot of fun.
Definitely. Love that ride.
So in between Hogsmeade and Seuss Landing, I think is probably one of the worst uses of real estate at Islands of Adventure. And that is the Lost Continent. And partly I say that because the land is so big and there's nothing there.
There's so little There's
so little to do. I mean, there's a few little shops, a few little food places. Now there is a water show, but it's not very good. Like they could do so much more with the Lost Continent in my opinion. What do you think?
I think so. Mythos Restaurant is pretty highly rated.
I have heard that, and that's always been on our list to try, but we've always made other plans, but I definitely would like to do that. So that is another sit down restaurant, so a full order restaurant at Islands of Adventure.
Yeah, very cool sort of Mediterranean theming. And then a lot of mythical, because they're in the bathrooms. I love in the bathrooms, there's these Medusa lamps. It's a Medusa head with a lamp on top of it. And I love them. I'd love to have them in my own bathroom. But we weren't that impressed. We weren't that impressed with the restaurant. It's not our favorite restaurant.
Okay. So there's not much to talk about in this area, to be quite honest with you, because there's really just not. It just takes up a lot of space.
I think while you're there, if it's open, it's not open now, but Poseidon's Fury is worth the trip through. It's a walkthrough ride, and it's got a really cool water vortex tunnel you get to walk through. And then you're in the climax, you're in the middle of a big battle between Poseidon and I think it's Lord Darkinson, maybe. And then, there's a lot of laser and fireballs and water splashing, and it's pretty fun, but overall, I think the Lost Continent could be reimagined into something better.
And then we get to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Hogsmeade.
Yes.
So you're walking in, and this is where, again, the theming completely changes. You know, you're in this Mediterranean kind of Greek Isles kind of thing with the Lost Continent. You turn the corner, and now you're in the country village of Hogsmeade, and you walk into the village. The Hogwarts Express is right there to greet you. And it is, again, just like what we talked about with Diagon Alley, it is like walking directly into the movie.
This is when you start to feel like magic might really exist. It could really exist.
So Shane, what are the highlights here? What are the must do's, the must sees?
Well, you have to go see Hogwarts Castle.
Yeah.
You have to get there's a bridge that runs in front of the castle, and you have to make sure you get your picture taken on the bridge with Hogwarts behind you.
Yeah.
You have to, how could I forget? As soon as you walk in, there's a cart there where you have to buy a Butterbeer.
You do have to buy a Butterbeer. You're absolutely right.
I recommend you share them. It's a lot of sugar to take at one time. And so share it. And then a couple of hours later, share another one. And then Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey is the queue is amazing. You get sort of a tour of Hogwarts Castle. You see a lot of stuff from the movies.
There's a lot of nods to the movie. Absolutely.
And then the ride is just a cool ride. It's got some Quidditch in it and some Dementors. And there is some, if you have an issue with motion sickness, you might want to think twice about it. But
here's the thing though. If you want to see the queue, if you want to see the castle, which you do, you can go through the queue and not ride the ride. So my wife has done this with us several times because there's no way that she can ride Forbidden Journey. I mean, it's quite intense.
Yeah,
I mean, let's be real. And so, she cannot do it. She's done it once and, that was enough forever. And, but you can walk through the queue and then right at the ride, you can exit. And they're perfectly fine with that. They're happy to have people do that. So you can see everything and still have, you know, but not have the ride experience. And again, this is one where there's the express pass, which with the wait times, you usually, you know, need to use that. And there's also the virtual line right now for Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey. So that helps out quite a bit too. It's a really cool ride.
On that one, if one of your older kids or you, and you're not as likely to get scared by anything, sit. It's the cars are in four seats. Sit on the far right.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Just sit on the far. I'm not going to tell you why, because I don't want to spoil it, but sit on the far right.
Okay. Also in that area is the Flight of the Hippogriff, which is a small, I would call it a family roller coaster.
I mentioned in the Universal Studios episode that I really like the smaller roller coasters, and Flight of the Hippogriff certainly fits that. Even though you think the ride might not be that much of a thrill for you, I highly recommend you ride it because you get gorgeous views of Hogwarts Castle and of Hogsmeade.
Yes, absolutely. Hogsmeade.
Yeah,
so absolutely.
If you're brave enough, I think I'll put on our Instagram page a picture that I took of the castle from the roller coaster. It's not that much of a thrill ride. So if I'm not recommending that you risk losing your phone and dropping it, but if you have a pop socket or something, it's doable to get a couple of great pictures of Hogsmeade and of Hogwarts Castle from the Flight of the Hippogriff ride.
There's also a brand new ride, which neither Shane nor I have ridden on, the Hagrid's Magical Creatures Motorbike Adventures. And everything that I'm hearing about this ride, everything that I'm seeing about this ride, it's taking it to a whole new level. Everybody absolutely loves this ride. And thankfully, there is the virtual queue for this ride as well. So you don't have to worry about standing in line, because when this first opened, you may remember, I mean, it was hours and hours and hours of waits. And it's not that way anymore on a normal basis, but you know, they've definitely worked with that virtual queue to cut that down. There is obviously shopping galore here. Whether it's Harry Potter, you know, merchandise, either, you know, direct from, you know, you can get your dress robes here, you can get your house scarf here. Like, I remember the first time we went there, you know, the four of us kind of chose a house, so we would get different things from that house. There's all sorts of stuff to do. And then there's shows that go on throughout the day too. There's the Frog Choir comes out. They have a spirit rally for the Triwizard Tournament. It's really cool. And then of course there's the eating. Have you eaten here, Shane?
In fact, we usually head straight to Three Broomsticks. That's our favorite place at Universal.
Yeah.
Love the beers.
Absolutely. So like the Leaky Cauldron, this has kind of the British focused foods. You feel like you're in the movie, especially on the Hogshead side, which is the pub that's attached. It's a small little pub where you can get not only alcoholic drinks and the Harry Potter inspired beers, but you can also get your butter beer here. I would say that this does tend to have a little bit more of a wait than the Leaky Cauldron. So you want to time your meal right, as so that you're not in with the rush there. But it's both Harry Potter's places to eat are totally worth it.
So Ryan, you are more of a foodie than I am. So I'd like to know what you think of the Three Broomsticks and the Leaky Cauldron.
Sure. Well, remembering back to what I've had at both, when I was at the Three Broomsticks, I remember, I think I had the rib platter and it was good. But I like the Plowman's platter at Leaky Cauldron better. If I'm comparing, you know, the entree to entree, I know one of the things that the Three Broomsticks has is they have kind of a family meal where you get a variety of things. So that might fit, your family a little better. My kids actually have had fish and chips at both, and like both of them. I think I like the atmosphere better at Three Broomsticks, but I like the food a little bit better at Leaky Cauldron.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I'm not as much of a foodie, and fish and chips is one of my great pleasures in life. Sure. I love fish and chips.
As it should be.
And I really enjoyed the ribs, but I would say to skip the stew. You can skip the stew. It reminded me of the chunky soup, the canned chunky soup.
Okay. So
I would say skip the soup. Everything else we enjoyed.
Yeah. And this is like the Leaky Cauldron. This is a counter service where you go and get your food and then sit down. So this is not a table service restaurant. All right, we've got one more thing to talk about here in Islands of Adventure, Shane. We need to get ourselves back to Diagon Alley. How are we going to do it?
Well, I don't really want to walk back to the entrance and then walk along the river and then maybe take the secret entrance into Universal Studios, or skip that and go all the way to the main entrance of Universal Studios. So is there another way to get back?
Well, I think if we're already at Hogsmeade, we might as well take the Hogwarts Express.
Oh, yeah, the Hogwarts Express. Great idea.
It's a really cool way, especially if you're a Potterhead like us, it sounds like. It's a really cool way to get from one Harry Potter part to the next. So what you're going to do, and you can go both ways, but we're going to talk about it from the Islands of Adventure side. You are going to get on the Hogwarts Express, which is right at the entrance of Hogsmeade, and you can take the train, and it will actually travel to the King's Cross station. And then you are in Universal Studios Florida, and you are right there at the entrance of Diagon Alley. Now, Universal's not stupid, because what do they make you do to make this possible, Shane?
You have to buy a park-to-park ticket.
You have to buy a park-to-park ticket. So, because you are actually in another theme park when you get off the train. So, trust me, they'll ask you multiple times if you have a multiple park. And if you don't, guess what you can do right there? You can just purchase a park-to-park ticket right there. And I would recommend you want to do this both ways. You want to do this both ways because the little show or interaction is different. Both ways, going from Hogsmeade to Diagon Alley and then Diagon Alley to Hogsmeade. You also want to do this a little differently because if you come in from King's Cross, from Diagon Alley, you actually get to walk into platform 9 3/4 and see, and you can see people ahead of you going into the wall. And I won't tell you exactly how that happens, but it's pretty cool.
Definitely want to have your camera or phone ready to take a video of your kids walking through the wall at platform 9 3/4.
I remember my son did that the first time we went. He walked through the wall and I got this great little shot, and he walked right back out and said, "Did you get it?" And I'm like, "No, don't." So anyway, but as you can see, I mean, there's multiple places to go, ways to go back and forth. These parks are right next to each other. That's one of the things I love about Universal. These days are really flexible with how you want to spend your time. If you want to spend your time all Harry Potter in both parks, you can definitely do that. If you want to go back and forth and really, be a theme park warrior, you can do that. So, I love Islands of Adventure, and Shane, it sounds like you do too.
Yeah, definitely my favorite park, if not my second favorite park now and then, depending on how recently I've been to Disney. And
right.
We joked about the pricing and the tickets, but it is definitely worth it to get the park to park and ride the Hogwarts Express.
Yeah, and they price it to make sense to do that. I mean, definitely. They want people to be able to go and enjoy it. So, well, Islands of Adventure, it's a theme park lover's dream. There's so much to explore. We'll be continuing our discussion of Universal Orlando Resort with future episodes on Volcano Bay. That's my favorite water park ever, and I'll tell you why, Shane, when we talk about it. There's City Walk, which is Universal's shopping and eating area right outside the park entrances. And then we're going to wrap up this series by talking about where you want to stay when you stay on property at Universal. There's lots of different options to choose from. I'm excited to talk about these upcoming episodes.
The properties are unique, and the proximity and the transportation, everything just makes the trip so enjoyable, so magical.
Great. Well, we're looking forward to talking about those on later episodes.
I think to make sure that they don't miss when we talk about those episodes, because Second, do them much good knowing all about the parks, but not knowing where to stay and how to get around. So they definitely want to subscribe to the All Things Travel shows to make sure that they know everything they need to know about a Universal Florida vacation.
Great. Sounds good.
If you'd like to book a vacation in Universal Orlando, I would love to help make you the vacation planning superhero. You can contact me on my website at shaye.fun. That's S-H-A-Y. Why? Because I like you. N-E.fun, F-U-N. Or you can email me at shaye@creatingmagicvacations.com.
Thanks for listening.
Subscribe to the show so that you can join us next time on the All Things Travel Show.
And remember, never stop exploring.